Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. There are a couple of interesting things to consider as the Lord has appeared and we think, why didn't he exercise his power to prevent some things from happening? Why was he chased out of the country that he was in? He fled for his life. Why did he do that? He's God. I mean, think of all the things if you're God. I know you've all probably heard of the movie, if you haven't seen it, the one where this Jim Carrey turns into God or Morgan Freeman's God and something like that. But, he's in a really fancy sports car and he turns all the lights green and all the other cars move to the side and he just goes down the thoroughfare and he has this great exuberant feeling of freedom. Okay, well, that's a very frivolous way to use God's power, but God could have done anything. Do you remember why St. John the Baptist was saved? Because he, remember, was only 6 months older than Jesus Christ. So when Herod went looking, his life was in jeopardy. Do you remember what happened to his father, Zechariah the priest, when he was interviewed, I'm using that word loosely, by the representatives of Herod? He was killed. He was killed. But what happened to John the Baptist and his mother Elizabeth? Do you remember? Anybody? Do you remember? No? No one?
A cave or a mountain opened or something.
A mountain was cleft. Right? Broken into two. He and his mother went in and the mountain closed up. Now, obviously, there had to be a cave. They couldn't have spent a long time going like that to the very sides of the mountain. But yes. Okay, why couldn't the Lord Jesus Christ have done something similar? Why was this dispensation given for John the Baptist and Elizabeth, his mother? Why did Zechariah have to die? Many questions about this. The exercise of the divine power of God. Well, first of all, when we went to the homeless and we fed them and we got to have some conversations with them, one of the things that I told them was there isn't anybody on earth who can say that I have no part in Jesus Christ. If you're smart, well, he's smart. If you're educated, well, he's really educated. If you exercise power like the President of the United States, well, he's got power. If you're poor, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. That's what he said. He's poor. You hear about some baby that is born in very poor circumstances, not because the mother is crazy and does something horrible, but because she's just so poor that all she can do is birth her child in this very terrible circumstance. Well, the Lord was birthed in a barn with animals present. Pretty unsanitary, right? You've heard of E. coli, right? That's all the fecal matter that comes out of the animals on the floor of the barn. Laying in a place where the animals fed. So, think about Jewish children at the time of Nazis. There's a great film called Au Revoir, Les Enfants, Goodbye to the Children, by Louis Malle, M-A-L-L-E. And it's about a Jewish boy that was hid in a Catholic school and he pretended to be Catholic. Because otherwise, he'd be hauled off to the concentration camp and killed. So could this guy say, well, Christ has nothing in me? Oh, he didn't. He was being chased by Herod. He had to make this old man, who was the protector of his mother, travel all this distance by foot. So there isn't anybody that can say that there wasn't a condition that the Lord himself was not subject to because of him being God. He did not allow for himself the things that he allowed for other people. He had the roughest possible life. What about the 200 children, or I don't know how many children it was, the numbers vary wildly, but spiritually and according to the Bible, the 120 souls under the altar in the kingdom of heaven, they're the 120 who are 120,000 under the altar, or maybe it's 144,000.
200,000?
Yeah, 144. I get it right essentially. I'm thinking ahead of myself, and so some things are just coming out without enough guardianship of my tongue. But these children were the ones that were martyred as witnesses to Christ at the beginning. Why did these children have to die? People will say, what a pain. These innocent children, think about, look at the round, you know, at Anastasia. Okay, we're gonna take her outside and kill her. You know, there's 144,000 of them. Some people use much smaller estimates because how could there be 144,000 births in a population in this local area, and they're all between, you know, newborns and 2 years, right? So, but these things are not important. These things are not important. I don't take issue. I don't take issue. It's just that I can't overcome the objections by any other, you know, possible. You know, there was that time in New York City when the lights went out, and 9 months later there was a whole bunch of babies that were born. There was nothing else to do that night, so they all decided to do the same thing. But 120,000, how many people would there have to be that got pregnant all at the same time in a small case? And how many women are? Usually when a woman nurses, it will lower her ability to fertility. And so she won't have, you know, like a one-year-old, a two-year-old, and a three-year-old. And sometimes children would nurse, you know, well into infancy, 6 years. In some cases. So the point is that why do these children have to die? Now, one of the fathers has postulated that, you know, the children weren't afraid of death. They did not have the kind of anxiety that attributes to the anticipation of death. Like if somebody threatens your life, you become anxious. You start to say, oh my God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Children don't do that. When you see Anastasia go into the arms of other people in the church, she doesn't show any particular concern about who's lifting her up. She doesn't know who this person is. The children didn't feel that pain. The crying of the children was because of the separation from their mother. The mothers, on the other hand, had not just the separation and the anxiety of the anticipation of their children's death, but they then also saw the death of their children. Okay. Why? It was a mercy. You know, when sometimes we think that somebody dies in their youth, we think it's a horrible thing. But think of all of the things that we have to go through as adults just to reach adulthood. All of the struggles and all of the pain, all of the different kinds of things that humanity is heir to, simply in the process of development. All of that was spared. And immediately they went to the place where they were going to enjoy maximum comfort and safety and blessings. All right. Also, people have postulated, when we consider that there were a lot of places to have gone, why was the Holy Family sent to Egypt? The Lord likes to put balance into things. Remember Thomas, the doubter? Remember, I'm not going to believe until I put my hands in the imprints of the nails and in his side, the wound. I'm, you know, then when he saw St. Mary ascend to heaven, because he hadn't gotten to where the disciples were, they scoffed at him, saying, "You didn't see her rise. You weren't with us. You couldn't even come on time." And they castigated him once again. And then he held up the belt that she wore around her waist. In Old English, it's in a very inglorious term. It's called a girdle, but it's not a girdle in the sense of keeping a big belly from, you know, bouncing all around. It means that she just had this thing that you would tie around your waist. For a kimono, it would be called an obi, O-B-I. So it's a ceremonial kind of a thing. It's a sash more than anything else. And he held that up. So balance was preserved. Remember Mary and Martha? Balance was preserved again. You know, first it was Martha that was concerned about all of these other ancillary things, and the Lord said, "Mary has taken the good part." And then the reverse came around when it was Mary that didn't have faith. So what I'm saying to you is that Egypt hated God at the time of Pharaoh. And when Moses came and brought God to them, his cross in the form of the staff, and showed him the power, you know, and stiff-necked as they were, they put up with all of these plagues, up and until the plague of the death of the firstborn in every house, right? Okay, so Egypt was castigated. Then to put balance and restore balance in it, the Lord goes to Egypt and blesses Egypt. And the one verse that is the more important out of all of them is, "I will build an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt." That's the most important verse. It's not, "Blessed my people Egypt." "I will build an altar to the Lord." It's the beginning of our church, a beginning to the worship of God. Because God can go places and people just, you know, who are you? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? All right, I'm bouncing all around here, but it's important that when we look at what we've just prayed, that we think about all of the kinds of apparent sacrifices that were made that weren't really sacrifices, but they were blessings. They were actual blessings. And we know also, not to put too fine a point on this, the Holy Family varies from tradition to tradition. Who was the Holy Family? Some, the Holy Virgin St. Mary and the Lord Jesus Christ and Joseph. But in others, it was also the handmaid of St. Mary, who was Salome, and also the first son, the actual son in flesh, of Joseph the carpenter. James, and in the Russian church, you will find James, who is leading the camel. He's a young man, and he's holding on the camel. And the Holy Virgin and the Lord are on top of the camel, and Joseph is on one side, and Salome is trailing at the end. We don't have this tradition, but it's not a tradition that is a capital T tradition, and it's something to think about. Salome was the one who, when she wanted to see whether or not St. Mary was really a virgin, extended her hand to touch her, and then her hand withered. And the Lord, as a newborn infant, prayed and the hand was restored. These are also traditions. So, you have the Lord responding to fear, not because he is afraid. He's responding to fear because sometimes fear is an element that is going to save us for something else. Now think about St. Peter. Was St. Peter fearful? Fear caused him. Fear. If he had run, if he had fled, he'd have been all right. But he didn't flee. He was interested in watching the accusations made, the whole tribunal that was gathered to accuse Jesus Christ of different things. So he stayed and he watched, right? And so when the girl saw him by the fire, he said, "Weren't you with these people?" "No." But your clothes, they're the same kind of clothes. No. But your language is the same language. Your language betrays you. No, I never met the man. And then the rooster crows three times. He never would have had these sins if he had simply fled. Sometimes fleeing, you know, will allow us to preserve what is most important so that it can be utilized in the proper time. You know, power shouldn't be something that is frivolously utilized. It's like a person who has money. Have you ever seen one of these films that they produce in MTV, where there's a rapper and he's got all of his bling, right? All of the gold and the diamonds and all of these things, and he's got a stack of money, and he's just throwing money up in the air like this. It's like confetti, and just throwing it up in the air. And you don't know if they're ones or hundreds, but the point is that I've just got so much money. Well, having a lot of money is good. I wish I had a lot of money. There are many things that I would like to do, but I guarantee you they wouldn't be frivolous. I would not be in a film throwing money up into the air. And the Lord didn't use his power. And so many times he was tempted by the devil. The devil was always thinking about how he could do something. So even at his birth, the devil devised strategies to pit humanity against their Savior. All right. So think about these things when you meditate on that which we have just prayed. And there's much more I could say, but I've used up the time before that with announcements. So glory be to our God, both now and ever, into the age of ages. Amen.